More bad economic news out of Europe. Deflation in the Eurozone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio. Some new data this morning from the European Union. Consumer prices in the Eurozone were down in December, 0.2% from a year ago. When prices fall, consumers and companies may postpone purchases and investments, and that could lead to a broader slowdown. We also learned today the unemployment rate in the Eurozone remains unchanged. It's been at 11.5% for 6 months now. Joining us now is BBC business correspondent Jonty Bloom. Hi, Jonty.
Hello, David.
The big fear here, I imagine, is that we could see this continue, that there'd be more deflation, that we'd get into one of these deflationary spirals.
That is the worry that people have, because inflation was already very low in the Eurozone. It was 0.1 or 0.2%. This tumbling oil price has pushed it into deflation. There were already countries in the Eurozone that had deflation for quite some time, Spain and Greece. But for the Eurozone as a whole, that means probably the countries like Germany and France and Italy are seeing falling prices as well. They're very large economies, and that's a sign that there's very little activity going on across a large part of the Eurozone.
You mentioned those falling oil prices. If you look at core inflation, if you were to strip out energy and food prices, that actually rose in December to 0.8%.
Yes, I think the markets took some relief from that because the underlying prices are up by about 0.6, 0.7%. If you take out all the temperamental stuff like oil and tobacco and alcohol, things that change price quite a lot depending on taxation or how the markets are going, the international markets are going. So that core inflation is a bit healthier. And that is a sign maybe that it's really the commodities markets, the falling oil price, things like that, that are forcing down prices, and that the underlying basis of the Eurozone economy is a bit better than these figures might at first suggest.
BBC business correspondent Jonty Bloom. Jonty, thanks very much.
My pleasure, David.
President Obama travels to Michigan today to visit a Ford factory, and in a speech there, he's expected to highlight gains in the automotive and manufacturing sectors. Here in Washington, the AFL-CIO hosts a national summit that'll focus on how, despite those gains, wages have not recovered. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
The auto industry now employs over 730,000 workers in the U.S., back to levels not seen since before the recession. Hallelujah, right?
So the returning jobs aren't the same quality as the jobs that we lost.
Catherine Ruckelshaus is director of the National Employment Law Project, which documented the decline in manufacturing wages. Auto workers, she says, are no exception.
Parts plants, which pay as low as $8 an hour, are employing 75% of auto workers today.
Others say there actually is wage growth in the manufacturing sector, just not in unskilled labor. Gary Pisano is a professor at the Harvard Business School.
CNC machinists, you know, highly skilled welders, I just keep coming across companies who say they just can't seem to find the people they need.
Pisano says the U.S. can and should grow its manufacturing with technical and productivity gains, not low wages, and that's the best outcome for both workers and employers. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
International Consumer Electronics Show continues in Las Vegas. It's a huge event where some 3,500 exhibitors are showing off new gadgets, including 10 car makers. Marketplace's Nova Safo is at the show, and he joins us now. Hi, Nova.
Hi, David.
So when I think of consumer electronics, the first thing that comes to mind is not cars.
The surprise here is that cars are becoming a part of this idea of the Internet of Things, the idea that everyday objects are getting connected to each other. Volkswagen, for example, is boasting of a remote control app that will let you check the systems of your car and manipulate some functions, such as climate control, before you get into the car. In the long term, though, they're also working on gesture control. Here's the head of development at Volkswagen, Heinz Jakob Neusser.
At the heart of the system is a 3D camera mounted in the roof console. The camera detects and recognizes hand gestures and converts them into commands.
That's what Volkswagen is working on. BMW says it's working on a similar idea, also working on gesture control.
I'm just trying to imagine that, worried that, you know, when I get into traffic and throw my hands up in the air, I might do something that I'm not supposed to do. I'm wondering, are there plans farther afield in terms of technology of the future that you're seeing there?
We've all heard of driverless cars and that Google is working on it. Well, now BMW says it, in fact, has a system which would allow your car to basically drive itself at least some of the time. They played a video demonstrating that, and I want you to hear a part of the video before I tell you what's going on.
BMW, pick me up.
So what's happening there is that Elmer Frickenstein, he's the head of electronics at BMW, he just talked into his Samsung smartwatch, and what we see is the BMW car, it turns itself on, drives over to where the speaker is, and stops right in front of him.
How far away are we from that happening, from me seeing that on the street?
It clearly is something that's very possible. They demonstrated it, but it's not what's coming next because the technology and also the price for the technology has to come down. In the immediate future, they're definitely talking about improving connectivity of the car, having cars talk to apps and vice versa, and better integration with smart devices. That's where the cars industry has had some catching up to do.
Nova Safo, our man at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Nova, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Finally, construction workers at the Massachusetts State House came across a time capsule last month that dates back to 1795. Conservators at the Museum of Fine Arts cracked it open yesterday and pored over its contents, including 5 newspapers and 2 dozen coins, one of which is from 1652. It's known as a pine tree shilling. In Washington, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.